at Radio K-Man's local news, I'm Dion Anglin. There are no confirmed positive COVID-19 cases again for the ninth day in a row. The Medical Officer for Health, Dr. Samuel Williams-Rodriguez, reports 437 COVID-19 tests have been carried out since it was last reported. All were negative. Cayman has had a total of 201 confirmed cases of coronavirus. Of those, 197 have recovered, one has died, and three of the four remaining cases are considered to be active cases, which are asymptomatic, and that's according to health officials. 114 people are in isolation in Cayman, either at home or in government facilities. A total of 26,117 people have been tested for the virus in the Cayman Islands so far. According to the Prevention, Control and Suppression of COVID-19 Partial Lifting of Restrictions Travel and Boating Regulations 2020, traveling by boat for pleasure in Cayman Brac is allowed but subject to a few rules. On Cayman Brac, a person may use a boat, but no more than 10 people are allowed on a boat at the same time, and no person can travel by boat for pleasure to visit Grand Cayman. Anyone who fails to comply is committing an offence and is liable on conviction to a fine of $1,000 and imprisonment for 6 months. A private member's motion asking government to consider increasing the retirement age for civil servants is accepted by lawmakers.
Whereas the Cayman Islands Constitution Order 2009 requires non-discrimination based on age, and whereas the life expectancy in the Cayman Islands continues to increase over the past two decades, and whereas some companies in the private sector have no set retirement age, be it therefore resolved that the government considers amending the normal retirement age as defined by the Public Service Management Law from 65 years to 70 years before certified 1st of December 2021.
Bordentown West MLA Chris Saunders told lawmakers, according to human resource documents, of the nearly 4,000 civil servants employed by government, by the end of December 2018, 62% of them were over the age of 40.
You'll find that 1,876 employees, or 48%, is 20 years away from normal retirement.
Mr. Saunders says the motion is designed to help government look at long-term planning. He added it is also a matter of dignity.
I have seen people that are in their late 60s that still want to work, and because of this restriction, find it very challenging to work. And that bothers me, Madam Speaker.
Deputy Governor, the Honorable Franz Mandison, reminded lawmakers that in 2016, the retirement age was raised from 60 to 65, with provisions that allow the retention of some staffers over the age of 65. As of the 31st of May this year, 94 civil servants are over the retirement age.
We are monitoring the impact of raising the retirement age, and we are encouraged by the early wins, which we have experienced. We see that the number of persons who continue to work in the civil service beyond age 60 has increased, allowing those such persons to continue contributing to their pension plan until age 65 has also had a positive impact on the overall public service pension fund and projected income replacement values for future retirees.
The motion was passed. In response to this motion, however, as part of their 2021 work plan, the portfolio of the civil service will undertake the research and information gathering that is necessary to properly consider the proposed increase in the normal retirement age. The deputy governor said, as you might imagine, there are many different aspects of this issue that will need to be carefully considered and evaluated in determining and agreeing the way forward. Given that this proposal would have direct impacts on the civil service if it was implemented, the deputy governor wants to assure everyone that the consideration of this proposal will include consultation with the broader civil service. This consultation will take place at appropriate junctures in the process once the portfolio of civil service has commenced their work on this in 2021, and it will be done to ensure that you are kept up to date on the proposal and afforded the opportunity to have your views fed into the work that is being done. Mr. Mandison said it was also important to note that, as was the case when they raised the retirement age from 60 to 65 years old in 2016, he expects that any proposed implementation of this proposal will be done in a way that does not negatively affect the pension and retirement provisions for existing civil servants. In more news, MLA Chris Saunders posed this question to the Premier last week.
Can the Minister explain why the East End Sunrise Cottage has been permanently closed? Thank you.
The Honourable Alden McLaughlin told lawmakers in the House the cottage was closed in May 2019, a move he described as, quote, unavoidable based on findings and recommendations from the Cayman Islands Fire Service during an inspection.
The Fire Service found that the East End Sunrise Cottage was not in compliance with the fire code and therefore not fit for purpose. To protect the safety and well-being of the residents and staff, the Minister of Community Affairs, in conjunction with the Department of Children and Family Services, closed the East End Sunrise Cottage and transitioned the residents to the Golden Age home in West Bay.
Leader of the Opposition and East End Representative, the Honourable Arden McLean, asked if there are plans to build a new retirement home in the Eastern Districts.
From a long-term perspective, to address the needs of older persons in the Eastern Districts, not just the East End, but the Eastern Districts, it is necessary for the government to consider a number of options. Based on instructions from the Fire Service and Public Works, it is possible to repurpose the cottage despite no longer being appropriate to use as a residential facility. The other option that is being considered is the purchase of another facility that is compliant with the relevant codes and better meets the needs of elderly residents. Or the third one is to build a purpose-built facility in East End.
The ministry has identified a number of parcels of Crown land that could be used to construct a purpose-built facility, which the land near the William Allen McLaughlin Civic Center was the, quote, most suitable option should government decide to build one. The issue is not expected to be addressed before the 2021 election. Premier, the Honourable Alden McLaughlin, says measures are soon to be implemented to ensure persons in need of government's financial assistance are not double-dipping.
We anticipated that that could possibly be an issue, so we actually wrote in to the change to the law, the amendment to the law, or I'm not sure if the law or the regs, that the Department of Labour and Pensions requires a list of all the persons who have received grants to be provided to them, not grants, withdrawals that have had the benefit of withdrawal, provided to them on a monthly basis, and that can be used then by not just that department, but more broadly to ensure that we are not assisting people who have the means to look after themselves.
Civil servants who wish to support the CIG CARES Community Support Program are now able to do so using a simple online form. The CIG CARES Community Support Program provides civil servants with a way to donate a portion of their salary each month to help most vulnerable families and seniors who are clients of the Needs Assessment Unit.
Absolutely voluntary on how much you give, voluntary on how long you want the duration of the payment to continue. And our plan is to have it initially for the NEU, but maybe if this is something that really takes off and does very well, we could expand it to other charities as well. But our hearts and minds right now are with those at the NEU. Our staff there has been doing a really wonderful job meeting the demands, and we want to be there with them and help them do their jobs a bit better by having some additional funds to give out.
Deputy Governor, the Honorable Franz Manderson, says civil servants will be able to start the process as of July 1st.
So we want to spend about a week or two doing some promotions around it to make sure that all civil servants are aware. As you know, some people are working remotely and some persons don't have access to fill out forms and all those things. So we want to give it about a week or two to get around the civil service, get our civil servants back in office, and then we will be able to introduce this. So I would think probably not this payroll, but the following.
You can find more information on the CIG CARES program and the donation form at www.exploregov.ky/community-COVID-19 or on the hub. Participation in the CIG CARES program is voluntary, and you can opt out at any time. However, note that the deadline to donate from the July payroll is today, Friday, July 10th. In other local news, a two-vehicle collision in West Bay and a robbery in Georgetown kept police on their feet on Thursday night as they dealt with two incidents an hour and a half apart. Here's Radio K-Man's Paula Cal with the details.
Shortly after 8 o'clock last night, officers responded to a report of a traffic collision on Hell Road in the vicinity of Fountain Road involving a dirt bike and a silver Honda motor car. The Honda had been traveling eastbound and the dirt bike had been traveling westbound when they collided. Both vehicles received major damage. Emergency services attended the scene and the rider of the dirt bike was taken to the Cayman Islands Hospital to be treated for what appeared to be serious but non-life-threatening injuries. He remains in hospital in stable condition. The driver of the Honda, a 26-year-old man of Georgetown, was not in possession of a license and was arrested on suspicion of driving without being qualified. He was later granted bail. The passenger of the vehicle was warned for intended prosecution for allowing a person to drive without being qualified. The matter is under investigation. In other police news, shortly before 9:30 p.m. yesterday, officers responded to a report of a robbery at a business premises on Mary Street in Georgetown. Two men entered the store, waved a handgun, and demanded cash. The men then took a quantity of cash from the register and fled on foot. No one was injured during the incident. One of the suspects is described as being about 5'8" tall, of medium build, and was dressed in a dark-colored hoodie, mask, and gloves. The other suspect is described as being about 5'10", of medium build, and was also dressed in a dark-colored hoodie, mask, and gloves. The matter is currently under investigation, and anyone with any information or who saw anything suspicious in the area last night, you're asked to contact 949-4222. Anonymous tips can be provided directly to the RCIPS via their confidential tip line at 949-7777 or via their website. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Paul Akal.
The Blue Iguana Conservation mourns the loss of one of their blue iguanas. Radio Cayman's Felicia Rankin-Solin says more.
The Blue Iguana Conservation received disheartening news yesterday, June 9th.
So yesterday afternoon, we got a report from the Department of Environment Enforcement Officers that there'd been a report of an injured iguana on the Queen's Highway. We went out and met with the team and confirmed that it was indeed an adult male blue iguana and that the individual had been feeding on the roadside next to our protected reserves. So a good distance off the road, and the evidence looks like a car has, you could only imagine, deliberately swerved and impacted our blue iguana tree and killed him.
Jack Harding, operations manager at the Blue Iguana Conservation Program, ran by the National Trust of the Cayman Islands, said this iguana was bred at their captive rearing facility in 2009.
So he's one of our youngsters. He was bred and he was released to the wild in 2012. So he's been out there 8 years. He was released at 2 kilos, and yesterday at death was 7 kilos, and one of the largest wild males we found, actually. And he was in beautiful, almost perfect condition.
The loss of this male iguana has a negative impact on their breeding program.
So it's a real sad loss for us because, you know, obviously he was a breeding size, breeding age, and by all accounts was thriving out in the reserves in the wild and doing really well. So for this to happen is a real tragedy, actually.
Losing an adult blue sets back the progress of increasing their numbers.
But actually, it's a huge impact. 11 years of hard work gone into rearing this animal, into him growing, into him being mature. And unfortunately, you know, it may be 5 or 6 animals a year we lose to these impacts, but it's always an adult animal taken out of the population. And each one, you know, it sets us back. Will be another 4 or 5 years, you know, another 11 years to potentially have a male his size. So it's a devastating effect it has on the program. Sometimes it can wipe out a whole bloodline for us. So, you know, we just can't keep affording to lose these adult animals.
For Radio Cayman News, I'm Felicia Rankin-Solins.
To learn more about the Blue Iguana Conservation, visit nationaltrust.org.ky or call 749-1121. And that'll take us out of Radio Cayman's Evening News. I'm Dion Anglin.